Welcome to my daily update video. Hey, the moment I want to share with you what I truly believe is the most important thing I've ever learned in the Christian life. And, you know, if I were talking to a non-Christian, I'd want to share salvation with them. If I were talking to a Christian, this is the most important thing I feel I could ever share with anybody. It took me years to get what I'm going to share with you today in a few moments. So do not check out, get a Bible, a notepad, a pen, and I'll jump into that in a moment. Hey, let me say that as well. I have a download for you today. So many years ago, nearly 30 years ago, I began collecting scriptures in this book. It's the same old 30-year-old book. You have to buy these in French, handwritten, and I just copy down verses which described who we are in Christ Jesus. I'll come back to that in a moment, but I've been putting these recently in a PDF as a download of all the scriptures I know about who we are in Christ. I'd love to give that to you today. There'll be a link below when you sign up for our new email daily newsletter. You'll get that in your inbox. Encourage you to get one of those and to pray over it. Again, I want to say a big thanks to all of my partners and friends who've worked with us and supported us in this year. And we'd love to pray for you, encourage you, and cheer you on as you walk into the future that God has for us all. Do check out all the links below. And again, signing up for our email newsletter is the best way of keeping in touch with us these days. Good. So let me share this with you. It's really simple, but, you know, I have to confess, I've always been serious about God. I've always been a thinker, a reader, an explorer, a questioner. I've always been interested in the Christian life that actually works and not pretending and dealing with problems in my life or the lives of others. And yet, let me describe really quickly my story, and let's see if you can relate to that, because I think many of you can. I know for myself, I grew up in a Christian home, taken to church every week, amazing parents, loved each other, loved God, blah, 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 all the great things. And yet, for me, it never actually occurred to me that any of this was actually real, till the age of 14 when I was born again. And I was born again through an experience. It was at a Billy Graham crusade, but it actually wasn't Billy Graham's preaching. I had an encounter with the Holy Spirit before Billy Graham ever got up to preach. And I suddenly realized this is all real. I mean, it's real, not religion real, not pretend real, not logically, on the balance of probability, I think there might be a God who created the universe. And it wasn't, you know, Pascal's bet. I met the person of Jesus that day. And probably like many of you, I could look back at my Christian life and there were moments like my salvation, other moments in my life when I had dramatic experiences with God and I knew it was real. You could not have talked me out of that. I knew there was a spiritual relationship I had with God that was real. I wasn't trying to pretend it wasn't there. I wasn't imagining an invisible bunny called Jesus. I had a real relationship with him. And yet so much of my Christian life, if I'm honest, I felt separated from him. I felt distant. I felt as if he wasn't real. He wasn't there. I struggled with sin, same things everybody else would. I didn't know how to get healed. I didn't know how to receive that joy, that victory we spoke about. And yet I knew it was real. I knew at times, there were times when I'd experience him. But it seemed, if I'm honest, that 98, 99% of my Christian life was me muddling along, doing what all the other Christians did. And then just occasionally with these little glimpses of divine life, of spiritual life, and I'd read about all these amazing saints and wonder, you know, how it was they had these things and how it was I didn't seem to have these things. Now, you know, different Christian streams, backgrounds, theologies deal with that problem in different ways. Some, frankly, just ignore the problem and pretend it isn't there. Some coat it with a layer of religiosity. And if we'll put the right clothes on and say the right words, I'm great, you're great, we're all great. But it's really just religious pretense. So often what evangelicals do is they say, yeah, all of that amazing life in God is real, but you only get it after you die. You know, we're here on this earth and we've got to judge through the mud and the snow, so to speak, and yet one day that life is accessible there. I think many have sort of thought, well, that amazing spiritual life is attainable, but we need to suffer, or we need to fast, and we need to seek God on top of a mountain and pay a great price to get it. I think there's other branches of Christianity that say, well, no, we need deliverance, we need inner healing, we need this ministry, that ministry, all sorts of weird, wacky and wonderful different ministries. And when we've got through those problems, then we'll experience the life of God. And, you know, sometimes in my stream, that charismatic Pentecostal stream, we'd say, well, yeah, that life, revival, glorious life of God's available, but we need to cry out. And maybe in the last days, God's going to pour out more of his spirit than he did previously. And I'll be honest, none of those answers ever satisfied me. None of those answers ever seemed biblical. Like, I just couldn't see them in the Bible. It didn't seem what Jesus was teaching and the apostles taught in the epistles or lived in the book of Acts. And lastly, when I got around all of those different streams of people, it didn't work. It didn't actually work for them. Of course, they could pull out testimonies to match, to validate their teaching, but I had testimonies. The problem with the testimonies is they were selective moments in my life or their life that were used to prop up an unbiblical teaching. And I probably got to the place in my life where I just assumed kind of this is all there is. You know, well, I know God's real, and we sort of struggle through the Christian life day by day. And yet several years ago, I began to see the light. I began to get around some teaching. And in a way, there wasn't one person who gave me at least this teaching. I'm not criticizing anybody. I saw different pieces of it in some very different streams of Christianity. I began seeing it in people like Hudson Taylor, the Keswick movement. Saw it in people like Watchman Nee. I really encourage you to read his book, The Normal Christian Life. I saw it in people like E.W. Kenyon. I saw the same teaching in the faith movement. Kenneth Hagin taught about this. Kenneth Copeland. I probably actually at the moment think if you want to get around teaching like this, listening to the teaching of somebody like Andrew Womack is probably the best and most accessible way of doing that. But let me just sum up that teaching here, because I think a lot of the body of Christ haven't heard this. And, pause, I think a lot of people in my stream of Christianity think they've heard this, and yet they haven't. The way you know if you really know something is that you live it, you put it into practice. And I meet many people in, frankly, my churches, my stream of Christianity, who, if I say to them what I'm going to say to you today, they'll go, amen, hallelujah, I believe that. And yet, whenever they get in a situation that contradicts this, coming back to this teaching is not the first, second, third, fourth, or fifth thought. And in a way, it's like this is just some idea somewhere, not a lifestyle, not something they've embraced, not the first port of call and the last port of call, because Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. And I tell you guys, what I'm about to share with you is the absolute truth of the Bible, and it really, really works. And I could come at this in different ways, but let me come at it in the way Watchman Nee taught about this and Andrew Womack did, really by quoting the verse in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. It says, may the God of Shalom, the God of peace, sanctify you wholly. That's holy with a W-H-O-L-L-Y, not H-O-L-Y. Completely, entirely holy, may sanctify you, your spirit, your soul, and your body. And I'll go through that really quickly. And again, many of you have heard this, but we haven't integrated it. We haven't made it the foundation of how we relate to God. You are been brought into relationship with the triune God, the Trinity, if you will, the Father, Son, and Spirit who are one. And yet we were created body, soul, and spirit. Now in Adam, the Lord said to Adam, the day you eat of the tree, you'll surely die. Adam, in a sense, was he still a spiritual being? Yes, in a sense, but he was a dead spiritual being. He was cut off from God. And all the way through the Old Testament, you see people really functioning as bodies and souls, and spiritually they're dead. They're relating to God through traditions, through customs, and not having spiritual encounters. Anytime God spoke to somebody in the Old Testament, God would speak, an angel would break into space and time and write on the wall, speak in an audible voice they could hear. It was spiritually dead people. And of course, in Christ, we are made new creations. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creation. All things have passed away. All things have been made new. Now again, let me go back to my testimony as a Christian, and I want to suggest to you, yours is probably exactly like mine. We go, yeah, I am a new creation, but most of us, if we're honest, we live in that verse in Romans 7 where it says, like, I'm a new creation, but part of me is a new creation. The things I don't want to do, I do, and the things I do want to do, I don't seem to be able to do. And it's like, I'm a new creation, but I'm dragging around, I'm Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. I've got this dark passenger. There's a part of me that's new and a part of me that isn't new. And I want to say to you, at a practical level, in your lived experience, that's actually true. And here's the key that we need to understand. When you were born again, your body was not born again. The Bible says the outward man perishes. Come on, every year, you know, another wrinkle, more gray hair, we're getting older. The outward man is perishing. You have a body that was not born again. And here's what we begin to misunderstand a little bit. Your soul is not born again. Your soul is your mind, your will, your emotions. Your soul, if you will, is like the software running on the inside of you. And your soul isn't actually who you really are. Your soul is the part of you that chooses things. Your soul is the part of you that thinks things. And your soul is the part of you that feels things. If you actually went back earlier, when I was talking about my Christian life, I said, I felt God wasn't real. I felt he wasn't there. I felt this. I felt that. And for most of us, whether we acknowledge it or not, what we feel is so real. What we feel is intrinsically how we see ourselves. We think what we feel is our true identity. And yet, here's the real key to understanding this. Now, please don't check out if you think, yeah, Graham, I know that. If you're not experiencing joy, victory, peace, health, blessing, guidance, victory, all of these kind of things, then you don't know it. You know it, and you don't know it. Here's the key. When you were born again, your spirit was made anew. You were recreated. You were born, literally born anew in the spirit. Not in the soul, not in the body. Your spirit's joined one with Jesus. Your spirit is placed in Christ Jesus. And you have the 100% righteousness of Jesus. You have his victory. You have his nature. You have his peace. You have his joy. You know everything he knows. Huh? You have his provision, you have his life. Everything he gave up at Calvary, he gave it up that you might have it now back in the spirit. And you're not going to get it one day when you die. You already have it. Now, for most of us, we live our Christian lives begging, longing, pleading, praying, asking others to pray for us, going through all sorts of weird, wacky, and wonderful ministries, trying to get in our soul what we already have in our spirit. Can you imagine a life if you could live and walk in perfect righteousness, perfect holiness, perfect joy, perfect peace? Hallelujah. Can you imagine what life would look like if we could live in that way? And I want to tell you and suggest to you, that's actually the message of the New Testament. We can. It's not that God is going to give you those things. It's that God has already given you those things. You have them already in the spirit, not in the soul and not in the body. And our role, our job, and it is a job, a role, a work, a journey, a progression, is to learn in our soul who we already are in our spirit. It says in Philemon verse 6, the sharing, the experiencing of your faith is made effective by the constant acknowledging of every good thing that you already have in Christ Jesus. So let me break this down, and I'll get practical with this, and I'm going to do another teaching on putting on the new man soon. I'm thinking of writing a book on this one, but You see, here's how we do this. Most of us, we walk around in our body, in our soul, and we get tripped up by sin. We get tripped up by temptation. We get tripped up by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. We all do. There are things your eyes see, ooh, that looks good, that looks tasty. He looks tasty, she looks tasty, whatever that might be. The lust of your flesh, the things that, you know, your flesh wants, and the pride, that, especially the pride, the identity, the core identity. We want to build an identity outside of God. And all of us, we go around and we end up sinning, we end up feeling guilty, feeling shame, we end up feeling emotionally. Notice the word separated from God, and yet we try to get victory, we try and manage ourselves, we try. God is not into sin management. Here's how you walk in righteousness. You every day wake up and you look, as James said, in the mirror of God's word, which declares you are righteous. And then you've got to learn to sit in that word. You've got to learn to abide in that word, not to try to become through your own efforts who God has already said you are, but to sit in what God has said you are. Lord, I am righteous. I'm as righteous as Jesus is righteous. It's the gift of righteousness, Romans 5:17. And if every day you'll practice waking up awake to righteousness and you won't sin, 1 Corinthians 15:34 says, if every day you'd wake up and you'll clothe yourself in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 4:23, put off the old man and put on the new man, created after him in righteousness and true holiness by being renewed in the spirit of your mind. That's what the Bible says. So if every day we'll wake up and say, Lord, I am righteous. I'm completely righteous. I'm perfect in you. Lord, I'm holy in you. Lord, I have your desires. I have your nature. Lord, I have your joy. If we will align ourselves with who God says we are, if we'll sit in it, if we'll think on it, if we'll allow our godly imagination to go wild with it, if we will dwell. Jesus said, if a man will love me and love my word, my Father and I will come through the Holy Spirit and we will manifest ourselves to him. Come on, today is Christmas Day. The angel Gabriel in Luke 1 brought a word to Mary that made no logical sense to her mind, her knowledge of biology. It wasn't a rational word. And Mary's response was, be it unto me according to your word. And the angel said, because you've received with meekness the engrafted word, the power of the Almighty will overshadow you. If you will, you, Mary, you receive the word, the Holy Spirit will birth in you the experience that the word will produce in your life. It's not my job to produce an experience of righteousness, victory, holiness, peace, joy, all of these things. My job is to hold his word in me and let that word do its work. It will grow. It will produce life in you if you'll plant it and not dig it up a day or two later and throw it away saying it's not working. And guys, that is the key to the Christian life. It's to believe that it's already done. It's to acknowledge that it's already done. It's rather than asking God, will you please do this? It's to move into thanksgiving and say, Lord, thank you. I am who you said I am. Selah. Boom. Hey guys, again, I have a PDF with hundreds and hundreds of scriptures, little pieces, jigsaw puzzle pieces, if you will, of your identity in Christ Jesus. I'd love to get that to you. I'll be sending it out by email today. And again, sign up for our email newsletter and we will get that to you. I'm sure it would be a blessing to you. Thanks for watching, my friends. Drop me a line. I'd love to hear from you and have a wonderful Christmas in Jesus' name. Amen.